Hello and welcome to episode 9 of The Office Block with me, Paul Dillon. We are a podcast for people working in banking and finance, and thanks to FSU for their support. Thanks also to our listeners for your feedback to our last show, which looked at disability in the workplace. One of the issues we touched on in our last show was mental health in the workplace. That is a subject about which there is a debate, and I'm really happy to be joined by my colleague Maeve Burney from the FSU to talk to me today. Hi Maeve.
Good morning, Paul.
Maeve, you're very well known to me, of course, and known to no doubt many FSU listeners. But can you tell me, for those listeners who don't know, a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your background?
Well, Paul, I've been a finance sector worker primarily for about 20 years. So I came into a role in the trade union with a significant experience of what it's like to be a worker. So with that wealth of knowledge, I went into Unite as an industrial relations officer and then subsequently joined the Financial Services Union, where I'm a senior industrial relations officer with responsibility for one of the main pillar banks within the Republic of Ireland.
So prior to working for a union, you were a union activist.
Absolutely.
And you were a union activist for a good many years, as you mentioned. So you would have been exposed to a whole different set of issues that people experience in the workplace and come forward with.
Absolutely. From issues I would experience myself to seeing colleagues go through, and then the overall collective issues that we would have worked together with as trade union members to better our terms and conditions of employment. But I mean, thinking about mental health, I've seen very many issues that have an impact on people in their working life. And that's why I'm here today, just as a worker and also as an advocate for workers, because I'm not a medical practitioner. So mental health has its own kind of, people think about it in a certain way, but we all have mental health. So it's incumbent on all of us to focus on our own mental health and that of our colleagues around us. And that's the context in which I'm talking to you today.
And it's a relatively new conversation, but certainly the issues involved aren't new. But I think, and again, just before we came on, we were talking about it, we're talking about this a lot more now.
Absolutely. I mean, mental health is something that we all experience daily. So either mental good health, where we're well and don't suffer any issues, or mental ill health, whether it's an acquired mental ill health through, you know, injury, or whether it's something that somebody is born with. So there's very many variants. And then we all like to think, I don't have mental health issues, but at various points in our life, different things have an impact on our mental health. And it's just about recognizing that point in time.
Yeah.
So whether it's a workplace issue which is causing you significant anxiety or distress, or do you know what, whether somebody at home is driving you mad, or it's a marriage breakdown, or there's very many things and aspects of our life, or every aspect of our life really, that has an impact on our mental health. And sometimes we just don't do that well with it, and we need to be able to recognise that in ourselves and in colleagues and those that we represent daily, to make sure that we're mindful of it. It is definitely, you know, like sometimes you talk about things and it's a bit of a buzzword, or it's a bit on topic, and fatigue sets in and people kind of go, oh, we're talking about mental health again.
Yeah.
But we need to talk about it, and we need it to factor into how we deal with things, but also how we deal with others, to ensure as much as we can that what we do doesn't have a negative impact on the mental health of the people that we deal with on a daily basis.
And it's interesting, Maeve, because, you know, just we were talking there, I mean, this was not something that was talked about, you know, that long ago. There was a time where people wouldn't have discussed mental health in the workplace. I think there would have been maybe a stigma attached, but I think that's changing. And I think people now are opening up about these issues. From your experience, your fairly lengthy experience firstly as an activist and now as a senior official with the Financial Services Union, you know, workplaces are a setting in which to promote mental health. So how can good mental health be facilitated at work?
Well, the first thing that we need to do, apart from my role in Financial Services Union, I'm also a member of the Irish Congress of Trade Unions Health and Safety Committee. And we look at the Health, Safety and Welfare Act. And people often forget about the welfare element. And it's a priority for the trade union which I work and also for Congress to promote mental health. It's one of the two kind of important agenda items for Congress this year. So what we can do as trade union activists is that we can create an open and inclusive workplace for people with mental health issues so they feel that they can come to work, that they can have support. We need to work with the employers where we represent people to develop policies which represent the rights and support members when they're experiencing mental health issues. There's very easy kind of day-to-day things. If you recognise that somebody is struggling and it could be because of something outside of work, give them a hand. Mm. You know, don't always jump to criticise somebody. Look and see, is there something I can do to make their life a little bit easier? And the swings and roundabouts with that. There'll be points in time where you might need it. So that's an important point. We need, as trade unions, to promote equality and challenge any discrimination in the workplace, especially and particularly for those with experiencing mental ill health. So if somebody's having a particularly different time, I'm not talking about an off day, you know, we should be nice to each other anyway.
Yeah,
but
sure.
If somebody's going through a particular challenge, yeah. You know, that we have policies, that we have an ethos, that we look after each other.
Sure.
And if you go into work with that mind frame, it's going to make it easier to help somebody. But the employers need to be able to do that.
Well, I think you've come to the next point that was on my mind. I mean, there's no doubt about what you say would certainly make things better, does make things better. But what about the attitude of employers and the responsibility of employers and indeed government?
Well, we need to make sure that the recruitment policies, promotion policies of an organisation, that they reflect and protect people in terms of mental health issues. So, for example, if you look back at someone had a breakdown or someone went through a difficult time, it's like that old Facebook thing of the right to be forgotten. Mm. You know, there's elements, there's things you do and there's times you experience a challenge in your life. And if it's that with mental health, we need to remove that stigma and there needs to be enough protections in place within employment. That means, you know, you're not the one that, you know, had that issue and they can't trust you, they can't promote you to do your role. It's been able to recognise that there was a particular point in time that you needed help. The same way if somebody has a physical ill health, if you're off sick and if something happens, once you're back and you're up and running. We need to have that same attitude when it comes to mental health or mental ill health.
Yeah.
So that if someone experiences a period of mental ill health and they come through that with support, that they just move on and that's not hanging over somebody. And because, as we said earlier, people are talking about it more, hopefully that means it's not that everyone in the office is talking about you, but that it means people kind of go, that was a point in time, we've moved on from it. And that when it comes to promotional opportunities, when it comes to recruitment or selection processes, that someone's not afraid to, you know, if there's a gap in someone's CV, it's not an immediate red mark against somebody to say that, you know, they're not going to be able to cope because it's a particular point in time.
Yeah. I mean, that interests me, Maeve, and I'm very conscious of your work that the trade unions are doing and that the Congress of Trade Unions are doing. But can I just take you back again to employers? Because I think what you've said is really, really good and it's valuable. But what about workers who will say, I'm under a hell of a lot of stress as a result of the actions of my employer? I don't feel protected. And indeed, this is exasperating issues for me or indeed causing me issues.
Yeah, there's a few kind of everyday things that people can do. So you won't be surprised to hear me say that they need to join their trade union. So they need to have someone on their side because, you know, there's points in time when we're all going to need somebody and you don't know when your day is coming. But there's a number of things that as individuals that we can do. So, you know, there are going to be stresses in your life where you need to either avoid them, alter them, adapt or accept them. So you need to look at what that is. Is what my employer is expecting of me reasonable?
Mm-hmm.
And acting as a collective, one person being isolated, finding something a challenge. If you talk to your colleagues, you're going to find out that actually you're all in the same boat. So the strength there is about standing up and saying, we can only do what we can do.
Yeah.
And it's easy for me to sit here and say that, Paul, but, you know, acting as that collective is where that strength comes from.
Yeah.
And employers will, they'll push you as far as you can go. Mm. And if that's the breaking point, you know, will the employer, will they care about that? Some employers will and some won't. What we need to make sure is that this should be everyone's responsibility. So we all come together and say, I can't do that, that I can do what I can do. And at the end of the day, you walk out. And we all, it's not about, and I don't mean I mean walk out at the end of your day, not walk out of your day, but, you know, the CEO of your organisation can go home.
Mm.
They can go on holiday. They can do whatever. The organisation will move on. The work will get done.
Mm.
We need as individuals to take responsibility and say, well, I'm not, I can't do any more than I can do. You can do a very good job. But by doing so, you need to protect your mental health.
Yeah.
One thing that may have been talked about over the years a bit more maybe was burnout.
Mm.
And that can be very real. And you'll see people, they'll go at full tilt, or it's beyond full tilt.
Yeah, sure.
For quite some time. But there's only so far that you can maintain that. So I would say put yourself first. You know, there's little things like, and well, I'm saying this now and I'm guilty of it myself. You know, having lunch at your desk, get up and walk and go out to a local park and sit in a bench and don't move, or, you know, put a podcast in, or listen to your music, or do something that gives you that headspace.
Yeah.
And there's loads of different apps and things that people use now for mindfulness and to take a bit of time out. And some people might say that's a bit fluffy and it's a bit whatever. What you do doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So long as you get away from your work.
Yeah.
And that's very important. Those types of things, taking you out of your workspace and giving you quite literally headspace, is very important. So we need to do that because no one else will do it for us.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Maeve. And I think, you know, a big role of a union is trying to create those sort of working environments. But can I take you back again, just one step backwards from, or one step away from that, into the area of what might be called, you know, you call it their burnout, right?
Mm.
I'm very conscious. I mean, there's a thing in the games industry called the crunch, where people are expected to do these a lot of hours at a short, on a kind of a project basis. And that's one example from one sector. But there's all sorts of sectors of the economy now where people, there's an intensification of work, I think would be fair to say. And again, if you're in a non-unionized employment, you know, what you say there, you know, let's get together and let's collectivize this issue, that can be very hard.
It can be very hard. But if you start to prioritize your mental health, so there will be times, you know, year end or month end, or as you say, there's going to be a crunch kind of piece around a project where you've got to do it and you've got to put in the long hours. But you need to take a step back and go, actually, is that reasonable? Is that damaging me? Because it's going to make money for your employer.
Yeah.
But if you don't do it, you know, the potential is someone else will do it.
Yeah.
But if we start to put all workers, start to put yourself and your mental health first, then that should start to inform how people act. So if it is, if I'm expected to work till in the gaming industry till 11 o'clock at night, you know, for 6 weeks running, is that achievable or is it damaging? Or is that something that once that project ends, there's another one around the corner? And that's the problem. It's not the short, sharp issues that I have to deal with today. Yeah. It's the compounded impact of all of those things. You know, keep a note of it. Know when you're working and know when the balance comes.
Yeah.
So if you have to do those things, absolutely do them. Progress your career. No one's saying don't do that. But when you're doing that, think about what it's doing to you and how reasonable it is. And if there's expectations on you that aren't reasonable, or if you're always the go-to person. So if everybody else in the office kind of slinks out at 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock or whatever time you finish, and you're the one that's there till 8 o'clock every night because your manager keeps putting stuff to your door, chances are you want something done, you give it to a busy person, it'll get done. But if there's any kind of inequity in that, and if there's no equality with you and your teammates, and if it's always been put on you, there's ways you can do that and kind of say, look, I want to do my best, but put it in an email. Don't have a conversation. And it doesn't have to be, you know, an adversarial, I'm fighting with my manager type of an email. It can be, look, I'm doing my best. I've done all of this stuff and I'm going to keep doing it, but I literally can't take any more on my agenda at the moment because I'm so busy to focus on what I need to do. And you'll find that if you put stuff in writing, it has a profoundly different impact on the person hearing it. So if you say to your manager, I'm up to my eyes, they hear you're up to your eyes and they'll probably say to you, well, so am I. But if you say to your manager through an email, you know, I've been working full tilt for weeks now and, you know, something's going to have to give either from a productivity or a quality perspective because you won't do your best work. You should get a different response to that because you're then formally putting it kind of to your manager. And it doesn't have to be, as I said, adversarial. Yeah. It can be quite simple and quite like, look, I need help or we need to make sure somebody else gets this. So it's just about minding yourself and put yourself forward because I think it was a professor in a university did this years ago and it's a very simple thing. You know, the jar where you have an empty jar and they fill it with golf balls.
Yeah.
And then say, right, is the jar full? And the students are like, yep, jar is definitely full. And then he fills all down through it with pebbles.
Yeah.
And shakes it down, makes sure the jar is now full and checks the students, yep, jar is full. Then it comes the sand,
yeah.
Shakes it down, more can go in. And then the final one was a couple of glasses of beer. And the whole ethos behind that or the message and the learning in that is the golf balls are like your family, your important things. And you're central to that. The next is your work and the other things that you've got to do, which are very important. But if an employer decides to close a company tomorrow, you'll get another job. If you're not there, your family won't have you. Or if you're not able to perform or you don't protect your mental health and something happens to you, that has such a profound impact on your life that you may not come back from it. Not to over-dramatise, you know, we can all go through bad times, but it could be even for somebody, we each have our own tolerance level. Yeah. And it's just recognising that tolerance level.
You know, Maeve, one of the things I like about this chat today is that we haven't referenced a huge amount of facts and figures. We've really focused on the human element of it, which I think is brilliant. But just to touch on something that comes to mind there is work-life balance, right? Mm-hmm. So the figures in Ireland, as you know, would show that we work longer hours than a lot of people in Europe. Mm-hmm. We have less holidays than a lot of people in Europe. A lot of people are unwilling, particularly in non-unionised workplaces, to take their full holiday entitlement. Mm-hmm. Can you, and from your experience of dealing, you know, with workers, can you talk about work-life balance and the importance of it? Because my sense of it is that it's a very, very important part of life.
It is. And people think of work-life balance and they often think of, you know, flexible working arrangements or, you know, working from home. And in the role that we do and in representing people who work in offices, those lines are blurred because your office, there's a saying that, you know, work isn't where you go, it's something you do. Mm-hmm. So that's changing. So your work is coming home with you.
Yeah.
You'd often see people on holiday, and well, again, guilty, our work is a mobile phone and it comes with us no matter where we are.
Yeah.
So you find yourself in the evening watching TV and you're checking an email because it pings in.
Yeah.
You'll find yourself away on holidays, sitting by a pool and you have a bit of Wi-Fi access and you're checking in.
Yeah.
And that might sound like, and it can be good, you know, a simple few minutes a day to keep work at bay. But the thing is that you never actually switch off.
Yeah.
You never really get a break from that. So if that becomes more and more, so if you're the person who sits down to a family dinner and you're the one that's always on the phone, you need to check yourself and you need to say, actually, what's this doing for me and my work-life balance? Because those lines are very blurred now.
Yeah.
And especially where we represent people in the finance sector. And, you know, it's almost a privilege that you're doing this and you're so important. And it's, but actually, if you don't mind your mental health, not having that work-life balance, not being able to switch off, not being able to take a break, means you might not come back to that project with the refreshed, fresh eyes that you need to have, because you never switch off. So it can be not only better for you and your mental health, it can be better for you and your role that you can step back from something and then take a fresh look at it.
The French have, as you know, the right to disconnect, the law that protects you when you're not at work in terms of access to devices and so on. I think we may need something like that here and something we might come back to again. Maybe we've covered a lot of issues, but let's bring it back home as such. If you were to offer advice to employers and to workers about how we might mind our mental health in the workplace, what would you say, just to sum it up?
Be mindful. It has to cover every aspect of what we do in representing workers. So for employers, whether it's their recruitment or retention policies, whether it's supporting somebody at a particular time in their life, whether it's from a recruitment perspective, looking at people with so what I talked earlier about an acquired mental ill health or somebody with mental health issues from birth. So it's about ensuring that your promotion or your recruitment policy is as open and inclusive as possible, and that you don't allow any type of discrimination in the workplace, that you not only challenge it, that you eradicate it, and you have a zero tolerance to mental health issues or somebody with mental health issues being abused. And again, that term abuse can be quite forceful, but if you don't challenge that discrimination and if you don't eradicate it from the workplace, be you employer, a trade union advocate, or an employee seeing how somebody is treated in the workplace, it's just watch out for it and mind yourself and each other.
Maeve, on that note, I think that's a good note to finish. Thanks very much for joining us on The Office Block. I think we'll be back to you again because some of those issues will definitely touch on for the debate. But for now, thank you.
Thanks, Walt.
Okay, thanks to all our listeners, as always, for joining us on the show. Please continue the conversation. We're on Facebook at The Office Block or on Twitter at The OB Tweets. Remember to sign up for updates at theofficeblock.org and feel free, of course, to contribute further ideas to our shows. But for now, I've been Paul Dillon, and thanks very much for joining us on The Office Block.